Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 386, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 7. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 1, 2, 3, and 7 of Psalter 386.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4, beginning by verse 21. Mark 4, beginning by verse 21, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 4, beginning by verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that had, to him shall be given, and he that had not, from him shall be taken even which he had. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wave and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try once again to draw nigh unto thee, whose presence and help we cannot miss. And when we come into thy house for a second time in this day, and when thy word that will go forth as thou thyself will give it, a word that is quick and powerful in the hand of thy Holy Spirit, sharper than any two-edged sword, and we have heard of it in these moments. It is as if a man did cast seed into the earth, and he riseth day and night, and he knoweth not how that it does grow. Then it is not for us to know, but it is the secret workings of thy Holy Spirit, by which that thou dost make that seed of thy word to take root downward in the heart of a man, and to spring forth and to grow upward, that it may bring forth fruit, and in thy time that it may be harvested by thee, that thou mayest receive the benefit of that new life. O, we beseech thee, O Lord of heaven and of earth, that thou wouldst so look upon us also in this thy holy day, that thou wouldst gather with us, and wilt thou make thy word to take root downward in the hearts of both young and old together. For there is not one that can miss it upon our journey. And we all are conceived and born in sin, and we cannot die in that same state and condition wherein that we are born. And there is no man that is able to change his own heart and to make it good and upright in thy holy sight. For we are children of our own father, Adam, and we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. O Lord, who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean, so that there is none that can appear before thee without guilt and filth and corruption? O Lord, that is what we are. O, we beseech thee that thou would open our own eyes to see it more and more. O, that thou wouldst make also thy dear son to be precious in the eyes of young and old. For he has no form nor comeliness to any one of us, except that thou dost reveal him unto us in his greatness, in his beauty. O, that we may desire to be clothed with that righteousness which alone is able to make us appear without fault before thee. And when we have to die and appear before thy judgment seat, O, then to receive of thee that which we stand in need of to appear before thee. That is our only hope and expectation. O, that thou wouldst make it so in the heart of each and every one of us. And we do not know the day of our death. We see it and hear it about us each and every day. The children, the youth also, the many callings which have come unto them even in the days of their youth. O, that thou may bless and sanctify these ways, that they may also receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, and that all together we may learn to bow before thee in the dust of self-abasement. O, that we may come with all our guilt and all our sin, and that we may be given to rise up as that prodigal of old, and to say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. O Lord, then there is nothing but mercy, and there is nothing but grace to be received upon that way of true and heartfelt repentance. For a broken and a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise. O, that it may be experienced and felt in the heart of each and every one. Leave us not to go our own way, and to leave these matters to the day of our death. For it will be then forever and forever too late. Oh, that we may not be surprised but that thou wouldst give us to take heed unto thy word while it is still a day of grace, and that this day may yet be a day wherein thou wilt stop a man upon his journey, that short journey between the cradle and the grave, that thou may instruct also those who cannot see the way before them anymore. O Lord, that thou may hear also their cry from heaven, and that thou may deliver them who cannot deliver themselves. Look upon us then all together. Look upon us as a congregation, as a denomination, and all those that bring thy word to the far lengths of this world. Oh, could it please thee to increase the number of thy truly sent servants for the sake of the missions and for the sake of the established congregations, that thou thyself may do it, Lord, because when we would run of our own accord, then we can do nothing but make a mess of all things. But oh, when thou wilt send a man, though it be one who cannot in himself go forth to do that work, and then thou wilt uphold, and thou wilt strengthen, and thou wilt also bless. Oh, could it please thee so to do that work, and that it may gladden us in thy own time. Remember our school, the teachers, the principals, and all that labor therein, and our students, our children. Look upon them in the days of their youth, and wilt thou grant them to remember in those days their Creator. Care thou for all those that are afflicted, those that are sick, those that are lonely, those that do mourn, those that carry burdens, hidden crosses, which are all known to thee, that they may experience also that thou knowest of them, and that thou knowest where that they are, and that they may receive a place by thee, a secret place under the shadow of thy wings. And wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon? Lord, wilt thou strengthen us for the labors of our hands? Give unto us the ability to bring thy word. And wilt thou be in our midst for a moment together in this afternoon, and gladden us by thy deeds, forgiving all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117, stanzas 1 through 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee, for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? The last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home, Psalter 117, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation the words of our text for this afternoon hour. You can find in Mark 4, as was read to you, Mark 4, the last part of the 38th verse. Mark 4, verse 38, the last part. Master, carest thou not that we perish? So far the words of our text. Questioning the Master's care. First, an urgent question. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Second, an answered question. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Thus an answered question. Third, we have a faithless question. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Thus questioning the Master's care. First, an urgent question. Second, an answered question. And third, a faithless question. Master, what is that? That is a teacher. Thus, that belongs unto the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first office which is experienced that God's children may be served out of. Then, when we become His, then He becomes our teacher. Then He becomes our master. Do you have a teacher, boys and girls? You go to school, and then you have a teacher, and then you listen very carefully to your teacher, right? And then you also have maybe many good questions for your teacher. We hope so. The disciples, we can read, they often had questions for their master, for their teacher. It seems for God's people that there are often so many questions that the more they learn, they think the less that they do know. And now the disciples, they are listening attentively to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sitting by the side of the sea. He has gone into a little boat. And all the people, the whole multitude, they are there on the land and they are listening to him. What a beautiful sight. But now sometimes your teacher, children, your teacher will say, okay, now you close all your books. And you close all, put all your papers away. And then, well, we are going now to do something. We're going to work on a project. Now we're going to get our hands dirty, as it were. You say, will you still learn? You say, well, yeah, sure. Then we learn by doing. Then we learn by experience. Sometimes then you have new kinds of questions. They come in your mind because you are actually doing. And then you say, yeah, how do I do this? I do not know. Do you know how the Lord teaches his people? The Lord, he teaches his people by experience. The Lord teaches his people in their life. Yes. Oh, then you need to learn your catechism questions. We hope you do that. But the Lord, he needs to teach us in our heart. And now we read, let us pass over unto the other side. That was the Lord Jesus. He says that to his disciples. And when they had sent away the multitude, and they took him even as he was into the ship. Thus, quietly, they are going to set out to go to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, Gennesaret. the same terms, different terms for that same lake. And then we read that there were other little ships that were with him. Well, who was in those ships? The Bible doesn't say. But it is thought there were people in those ships. Probably there were people who were sitting there in that multitude. And then they have listened with two ears. Oh, they have listened with all their heart. And when the Lord Jesus, he is going to go away, then they want to go with him. And they have a hunger that is born within them, that they may hear more of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many in our midst? How many here a day can recognize such a way? And when the house of the Lord, and we have to go home, and then in our heart, and then you are waiting. You are looking forward to that time when you may hear the word of the Lord once again. And there were other little ships with him. And the Lord Jesus is tired. You say he was divine. He was God. Yes, he was also man. Truly man. So that he is tired after all of his labors. And he goes and he finds a little pillow and he goes to sleep in that ship. That is a good thing, because he needs some rest. And when he comes to the other side, then more labor is going to be required of him. But that Lake Gennesaret, that was situated in such a way among the little hills, that there were common to have squalls, that is, very sudden bursts of wind. And that lake that was not very, very deep, so that the energy from those winds, they would toss up that water very, very quickly to make it as a boiling sea. And so we can read it also that it happens in this night. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So that it was now full. A ship that is full of water. What happens to a ship, children, that is full of water? You say it sinks. That is right. And now the disciples, they are afraid, because there is now so much water in that boat that they have become afraid that that boat is going to sink. And that wind that is blowing and that rain that is coming down, and they fear that they are all going to drown in that Sea of Tiberias. Until now, the disciples, they have not spoken unto the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they have let the Lord Jesus sleep. Why did they let him sleep? The rain was coming. The wind that was starting to blow, yes, but was not too bad. Was not yet too windy. It was not yet too much water in that boat. They were not yet too afraid. They had not just begun to be men of the sea and of the boat. No, they were experienced fishermen. They had been in a storm before. They knew how to guide this ship. Oh, they knew what to do. And so the disciples, they let the Lord Jesus sleep. Oh, they will take care of the Lord Jesus. They love the Lord Jesus. He needs his rest. And they will take him with all their skill and all their know-how. They will use everything in the love of their hearts. They will use it all to get the Lord Jesus over that lake and to bring him safely onto the other side. religion that makes a man a helper to the Lord. If the Lord grants to us a little love, even in a natural way, and then a man, he is going to do everything for the Lord. Do you know what that is? A desire to do everything for the Lord. That you are going to expend all your strength. There are people, young people, say you give a little, right? You give a little. Something of your own earnings, perhaps, right? In the collection, out of the love of your heart for the church, for the poor. And there are people, they have given so much, the love of their heart that has gone out to the Lord. And it can even be that even just in a natural way, a little bit of religion, a little bit of outward love, affection, that is making a man to serve the Lord. Everything that he has. Storms, afflictions, trials, persecutions. Yes, religion can go quite, quite far. But how far now does the Lord bring it in the life of his people? Well, we read here that ship that was full. Read it in Psalm 107. How far did the Lord let it go in the life of his people? You read that he let it go until they were at their wit's end. What does that mean? If a man is at his wit's end, well, that means that he does not know anymore. He has used all his wit. He has used all his mind to solve it, to gain what his heart desires to have. Oh, he has used all his intelligence. And now he comes to the end of it. That means he just does not know anymore how that it has to go in his life. A people who cannot see it anymore. How that it can possibly be that the Lord could receive such a one as they are themselves. They cannot see how it is possible that such a one as I am can actually be saved. That not frightening? Indeed, it is frightening. It is frightening when a man truly believes that he is going to go lost. What do we read here? We read the disciples, they say, we perish. We perish. That means that they actually thought that they were going to die. They actually thought that they were going to be lost. Is that not frightening? If a person truly believes that he is perishing, if he truly believes that he is lost, say, why? Why does the Lord allow it to go so far in the life of his children? Do you know what the Lord says in his word? He says, I will try them as gold is tried. And I will refine them as silver is refined. Why? Because gold and silver, they are precious metals. And that gold and the silver need to be distinguished. They need to be separated from that which is not gold and silver, so that we now can tell the difference between what is precious and what is not precious. And now it is necessary then that the Lord Himself is making this separation, because there is a soul-saving difference between a man who will help the Lord and a man who needs to be helped by the Lord. That is a soul-saving difference. There are so many in this world. Even a natural religion that will make a man into one who will help the Lord. But man, he does not bring himself to the place where he needs to be helped by the Lord. Thus the Lord must bring it so far in the life of his people that they are brought unto their wits' end. Or were you ever brought to your wits' end? Were you ever brought to that place that we read in Psalm 107, even unto the gates of death, where they fall down and there is none to help? That is what we read here. The disciples, they say, we perish. Do you perish? So that it was now full. Thus it is lying deep in the water. Thus death that is grinning at these disciples. You say they are God's people. Can they not die? How is that with God's people? Can they die? Ask God's people. Oh, then they will tell you that they cannot die. They will tell you that they are afraid to die. But what do we read here? We read here that they believe that they are going to die. We perish. Thus a people who have to die, and they cannot die. Are there those also here who know what it is to have to die? And that you say, I cannot die, I do not mean after we have received a message from a doctor. No, but when we have received a message out of the Word of God. And when that Word of God has come to us quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And when the Lord, he says to us, as he said to Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You pray, boys and girls. You pray. And when you pray, then you are reverent. When you pray, right? Fold your hands. You close your eyes. That is good. What do we read here about the disciples? Oh, they were also so very careful. They were very careful with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they loved him. And they were going to be his aid. They were going to be his help. So they are very quiet. And they hear they are going to let him sleep. But there comes a time that all that comes to an end. And why does it come to an end? It comes to an end because the matter that becomes urgent in their life. It becomes a matter that cannot wait. It becomes a matter that has to be solved now. Why? We perish. We perish. What do? We read that they awake him. You say, that is rude. He is sleeping. You ever wake someone when they are sleeping? You say, I do not do that. We let him sleep. But they do not anymore. Oh, they had done it. But at that time, that matter that was not so urgent. How is it in our life? Not so urgent. We can still handle the boat. Not too much water in there. We can still uphold ourselves. Do not believe we have to die today. We can still push it off. But did it ever become urgent? We read here that they awake him. They go to him. They shake him. They wake him up. They say, Master, we perish. Or they cannot wait. Oh, did it ever become so for you? Or that you have gone to him? Oh, that all, oh, we would say all the niceties. Oh, they go under. And in the urgency of the case, that you have to cry unto the Lord, you say, Lord, I perish. Oh, Lord, I cannot. My soul that is sinking, my ship that is sinking, I am lost. You know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is where the Lord is bringing his children. To make them that kingdom of heaven would suffer violence. What happened at Peniel? Where Jacob is wrestling with the Lord. He cannot let him go except that he receives the blessing of the Lord. Master, we perish. No, that is not all that the disciples say. There is more. They say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? There is a rebuke in it against the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an accusation. Carest thou not? What does that mean? That means, do you have no interest? Does it not matter to you? Oh, that must have been as an arrow in the tender heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who now has more tender care of the Lord, of his own people than the Lord Jesus Christ. But what now happens when you heat up the gold, when you heat up the silver? I did that when I was your age, young people. I had my first job. It was not gold and silver, but it was lead. I worked for a printer. And then I had to heat the lead till it was molten. And when you would heat that up, then you begin to see what you did not see before. The stuff that was in that lead, all the impurities, the scum, that would all come to the top. And it would all lay on that top. And you know that lead that had a beautiful silvery color, shiny color to it. When you took off that scum, then I had to scoop that out so that that lead that was more pure. carest thou not that we perish? The dirt that comes out. When you heat up that chase, did the dirt ever come out? The Lord, He heated up that chase for Job. He was a righteous man. He feared God. He eschewed evil. But he was not a righteous man in and of himself. And the Lord, He heated up that chase. And then the dirt came out. Lord, ever heat up your chase so that you begin to find out things that you never knew that were in your heart before. I never knew it lived there. Oh, the Lord, He does it wrong. Disagreement. Rebellion. Shouldn't say it all. What all lies in our heart? There is even atheism. Oh, we cannot bow before the Lord. There's a fist that raises itself to God. There's despondency. There is unbelief. What did David say? He says, the Lord, He has forsaken me. My God, He has forgotten me. O Lord, dost thou not care? The care of the Lord, that is not over me anymore. Carest thou not that I perish? An urgent question. But it is also an answered question. How does the Lord answer it? We don't read He speaks to His disciples. We don't read that He rebukes His disciples for their sinful accusation. Oh, He is so pitiful. Oh, He is so full of tender mercy. He is so full of loving kindness. He is so long-suffering toward His people, so that He is patiently bearing the infirmities that are living in the heart and the life of His children. He is an example. He is an example for us as a consistory. He is an example for you, fathers. Mothers, He is an example for you, teachers. An example, why? Oh, when those that are subject to us, they are sometimes overreaching themselves. Oh, when the urgency of the case, their case, that is coming out in a way that, well, that has fault in it, as it was with these disciples. And when a man, he is overreaching his proper bounds, then can we see something? Can we see something of the need that is living then in the heart of that people? Or can we look over then at the inconsistencies and the infirmities of that people? And He arose, we read, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That is the answer of the Lord Jesus to this question of His disciples. Carest thou not that we perish? Here is now His answer. And He will show them whether He cares or whether he does not care. He does not answer them with words, but he answers them in the deed. And he arises. He arises as the Lord, as the creator, and as the provider of this entire universe. And he arises, and he but speaks. How did this world come about? How did it come about? It came about by the word of the Lord. How powerful was that word of the Lord? Reading God's word that is received by faith. Here we have now an example. It is not the creation, but it is the same power that he has over the entire creation. Peace, he says. Be still. One word that comes out of his mouth. And then we read that there is a great calm. It did not take an hour to calm down. It did not take a day. No, it took place just in one moment. Or that is now what is taking place in the soul of God's children. It does not take an hour. It does not take a day. We will ask God's children, those who may have experienced something of that power of one word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the turmoil that is in the heart of a sin-sick soul that truly believes that he has to perish. And then he is coming into that house of the Lord. And then there is but one word that is spoken, one word that is sung, one word that is read, which is by the Spirit of the Lord coming down and entering into their heart. And in that moment, all that turmoil that is quiet. And there is in their heart in one moment a great calm. Do you know that? Do you believe that? That is the truth. There are persons who have experienced in one moment what that power of that word of the Lord is. And it becomes for them a marvel. That is what we read here. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Their soul that is amazed. He's amazed in reflection when they're sitting in that ship and all of a sudden they feel, they experience this great calm. When one moment ago, the torrents of rain, the winds, the boiling sea, now they are marveling in this great calm. Oh, there are those who may marvel at that calm. Bunyan tried to show it. You know, when you read that part about his burden, it came off of his back. Read that again. You know, he writes in there that he stood still there. He stood still. What is Bunyan trying to do? He is trying to show what is now the experience of that true church. He had seen something. Oh, he had heard something. That word of the Lord, one word of the Lord. And then he says, then he stood there and he looked and he wondered, because he said he was so surprised how that one sight that could so relieve him of his burden how that is in the life of the people. When the Lord is applying that word, and when they feel the power, and when they experience the calm, and they look about them and they wonder, how is that possible? Oh, how sweet that word is. What a power to cleanse the conscience. What a power to settle the soul in its need. Here is the true experience of that church of God. And it brings that same depth of respect and awe that we read here of the disciples. Oh, then they are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they marveled, they loved him before, already. But how that their estimation of him has so increased at his power that they say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea, they obey him? Let us sing. 390. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. 1, 2, and 3 of 390.
Thank you.
our last thought, a faithless question. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? No faith. That is an accusation that has come so many times into the hearts of God's own children. No faith. No true faith. No saving faith ever come in your heart. Here it is, the word of Christ. He says that to his own disciples. Is it then that those disciples, they truly had no faith? That is not so. The Lord Jesus, he says elsewhere to them, that they were of little faith. Thus it is an expression, a contakening, that says they have no firm assurance. They have no firm confidence. Why are ye so fearful? So the lack of that assurance, the lack of that confidence, that is often causing so much fear. The disciples, they were not in danger for one moment. Why not? Why not, boys and girls? Why were the disciples not in danger? You say, because the Lord Jesus was in the boat. That is right. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He says, it cannot be that a prophet would perish out of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus has to die, but he is not going to drown. And he cannot be thrown off of a cliff. He is not going to die by accident, as it were. No, he has to die as a sacrifice. Wherein lay the safety of those disciples? You say it was in that fact that they were with the Lord Jesus. That is right. Because of him and their nearness to him, they were safe. Wherein lies the safety of the true church that is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as they are united unto him, then they are safe. When is the true church united unto Christ? Say, that is in regeneration. That is right. Because in regeneration, true faith that is planted in their heart, and that faith that unites to Christ. But that is not necessarily so in their own estimation, because that is now a different matter. It concerns their safety, yes, but yet they have not, the disciples, though they are so safe, yet they do not realize how safe that they are. Why are you so fearful? What a perfect serenity was in the Lord Jesus Christ in that storm. As he lay in that boat, then there was not a single fear that lived in his heart. When he saw that that boat was full of water, the storm and the wind and the rain, why not? Because he did trust in the care of his Father. And that care, that trust, that is of the essence of faith. Then he could leave himself entirely in the care of his Father, who would care for him. Thus, he was not afraid. In the perfection of trust is the casting out of all fear. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Oh, there is no comfort greater than the knowledge of the union of our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our fathers say in our catechism. The only comfort in life and in death, to know that I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, how do I know that? Read the catechism. That is what our fathers are showing in the catechism. It is in the experimental knowledge of misery, deliverance, and gratitude that this union with Christ may be known, that it may be experienced. This is now, as the Master, what the Lord Jesus Christ is instructing his disciples in this night. Step by step, he instructs them in the exercises of faith. How does he do that? Oh, he leads them into the depth of their fears. He leads them into the depth of the corruption of their heart. He brings it so far that the dirt comes out. He gives them to experience that power of his word. He gives them to know something of the great calm which is coming from him. It is a deliverance. In their great need, when it has become impossible from their sight, when it has come to a great urgency in their life, there is no other way that he can instruct his children how to trust. He cannot do that having them seated around him on the seaside. But he must do that in the open sea. He must do that in their life, in the practice of their life. There is no other way that a man may truly learn to trust, because that is not a matter of the mind. No, but that is an experiential matter of the heart. No man will fill his own boat with water. Right? You will not do that, young people. Take the water from outside the boat and put it in the boat. Make yourself, to bring yourself into... No, you don't do that. Why don't you do that? A suicide. And we were not created that way. Even the devil, he said it, skin for skin, all that a man hath he will give for his life. We do not do that. We do just the opposite. A man, he seeks to save his life. He seeks to get that water out of that boat. He seeks to maintain himself. It is a matter, the filling of that boat, that has to come from the Lord's side. That is frightening. It is frightening. What do we fear more than death? You fear to die. Disciples, they feared to die. And it became urgent for them. Did you read the bulletin today? The article, John Flavel. Read it. Read it to your children, young people. Will you read it? Because the callings, they have come and they are coming. Also to the children that we have here, no continuing city. And now he speaks about that sudden fear. Is that not fearful, boys and girls? Is that not fearful? If we would have to die. And maybe then we would have to think about it for the first time in our life. Oh, read it to your children. Explain it to your children. Blessed is that man who will not fear. On the day that that message that is coming, when he has to lie on his deathbed. But what is necessary for that? True saving faith. That trust. But if we have never learned this in our life, we cannot expect such exercises of faith in the day of our death. And that is why we say, young people, it must become an urgent matter. We have to learn to die before that we have to die. Meditate on these things. Beseech the Lord that the Lord would bring this matter into your heart before that it is too late. Do not think it strange. If the Lord begins to take away your props. You see what the Lord does in the life of his people. Do not think it strange if that boat begins to fill. If the Lord takes away as a ground what you have been leaning on, this experience, that experience in my life, then they have to say, but it is not enough. I cannot die with this. And then the fears, they are increasing instead of those fears decreasing. Does that ship fill with water? Is there no answer? Is the Lord sleeping? David, he says, I cry unto thee in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, that question, that urgent question. The question that even had sin in it. That was like an arrow unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This question that was full of fault, that was full of unbelief, this faithless question that was answered by the Lord Jesus Christ was not all answered soon enough for the liking of the disciples. They would have never let it come that far. Is that what you say too? Lord, how far does it have to go? But the Lord lets it come that far because he is looking for something. Oh, he is looking that they may know what that dirt is. He is looking that they may know what his power is. And he is looking that they may yet say, what manner of man is this? And they will say it. They will sing it. They will sing it here by beginning. And they will sing it forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O do instruct us. It is not according to our flesh. We fight it. And yet, O Lord, wilt thou work through? Wilt thou teach us as the Master? And wilt thou deliver us from all our sins? O work experientially in the heart of young and old together. For life is short and it is serious. Do bring us safely home. We may acknowledge thee. And for the help that thou hast given unto us in this hour, and wilt thou bless thy word, help us also in the rest of this day. Each one in this week, wilt thou supply for all of our needs. For Jesus' sake, amen. 56, 1, 2, and 3. My shepherd is the Lord, who knows my needs. And I am blessed. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 56. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.